device, iPad, tablet of some sort. You can open your Bible app or open your Bible. And once again, this Sunday, we are going to go through a lot of verses. So it's best to have a pen and paper out and mark down everything because I think I have like 30 slides. So it's saturated with God's word. So last Sunday, we talked about back to the basics, and it was about Jesus. And what we focused on is what Betty mentioned already a few times, was two things about Jesus. Why did Jesus come, and why was he important? And we were just going through just those two key ideas, even though, you know, there's so much more you can talk about Jesus. But going through those two key things was to give us confidence on who Jesus was so that we ourselves could speak Jesus into other people's lives. Because we need to have the confidence. We need to give a reason to why we have this hope, why we have this belief. And so now we're going to continue on something that Jesus really focused on as well. Throughout the Gospels, as you read through Jesus' life, you read that he prayed a lot. You read that he taught his disciples to pray. You read that he said grace. All these things about prayer. And so it's like prayer is important to us. Prayer is one of the basics of our foundation, is because it's a conversation. It's something that we can talk to God about, to have this relationship, to go, I need to be continually connected to my Savior. And so we're going to focus on back to the basics, prayer. And if you guys had a bulletin, inside of it, I gave you guys a little insert, and it was how to pray. And if you didn't get a bulletin, I'm sure there is more bulletins out there. If you did not get one of these, there's more on the back table outside. And it's not a for sure guide how to pray. Like, you have to follow that word for word and, you know, just continually recite it over and over. But it's just a small guideline that might help you on prayer. So the question is, how many of you guys have ever been told this answer to any kind of question revolving a relationship? Communication is key to a relationship. How many of you guys have heard this? It is like the staple foundation of anyone who's getting engaged or married. Someone or almost everyone will come up to you and like, communicate to your wife. Communicate to your husband. If you guys don't have this communication, you're always going to be, you know, firing on different cylinders, missing marks, missing points, and that could lead to a bad taste in your mouth with your significant other because of communication. So everyone hears this one way or another. It's almost like, oh, obviously communication is key to a good relationship. But sometimes when it comes to prayer, we don't think that communication is as important sometimes. Because, you know, we believe that God is, yes, he's there. Yes, we believe in who he is. But sometimes we don't pray. Sometimes we just get all these ideas that we don't need to. And so when something arises, this is a garbage can, by the way. Something arises, a need, a desperation, an emergency, or some sort, we go, we're going to pray. And this is my prayer, by the way, this is my prayer. And we go, God, I want you to answer this. And we just hope that we hope to God that we make it to him, that our prayer makes it into the basket, that God will hear our prayer. But, you know, it's a one-time shot. You know, if we don't say the right words, if we don't say the right things, God's not going to hear it. We have to get it directly on the basket. But then there's sometimes that we follow this direct shot, and it doesn't work. So then maybe we're one of those people that, you know, we're more a little, I don't want to say more put together, but sometimes we're not super in a rush. It's not a huge emergency. But you're like, maybe God's going to answer this. Maybe God's going to do something great. And this is in regards to possibly jobs. You know, have you guys ever prayed, hey, God, I need a job. God, I want this job. Or no teenagers here, but how many of you guys, when you guys were younger, prayed to God and said, God, I need a woman. Or I need a man. I want to find someone, you know, that. Or maybe you guys prayed, maybe when you were younger, going into school, you're like, God, take me to the right school. Lead me to the right path. Or maybe sometimes it's the desperation of, God, I need, or maybe not desperation, but you're like, God, I'd like some friends. I'd like some good friends at that. And so you get this detailed kind of prayer. And you're like, God, I hope you can hear me because I want this answer to me. And so once again, you're just like, God, I'm going to shoot for the stars. Please don't hit anyone. Horrible airplane. Anyways, but you pray and you're like, I shot my prayer off and I hope that God hears me. But that's it. You took all your time in your prayer for your one-time shot once again. Although you did take your time on it, you're like, you know, I'm not rushing through it or anything, but you take your one-time shot and hope that God answers it, and that's kind of it. But if communication is key to a good relationship, shouldn't we continue praying? Shouldn't we continually want to be in conversation with someone that's important to us? So if relationship is key in our lives, wouldn't we want to be a direct messenger? Did you like that better than an airplane in the eye? Definitely. or a basket to the shot. But it's going, God, I'm going to come to you. I'm going to kneel before you, and I'm going to pray to be in that conversation. Rather than just going, God, maybe you're going to answer this, maybe you're not. But knowing that God is going to answer it in one way or another. Jeremiah 29:12. It says, then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. I think that's just the first start off. Why do I always hit my hand? Okay, that is the very first start off that I think brings us encouragement, is that when you call upon me and come to pray to me, I will listen. The encouragement is that God is listening no matter the prayer. Sometimes we think we have to do this, you know, elaborate prayer, and God will listen. But he says, if you call upon me and come and pray, I will listen. So here's the other question to you guys. How many of you guys have ever struggled with how to pray? I think we've all kind of had this, you know, whether you were growing up into it, maybe you figured out ways to do it. But I think all of us have always had the question, how do we pray? Is there any guidelines that I should follow? Is there a certain direct way that I have to say this, then I can say this, then I can reach around here and say this, and then God might listen to me? Or maybe questions like this, do I have to shut myself off in a room? Do I have to go to the church and that's where I can only pray? Do I have to pray with someone specific? Does it always have to be with a pastor? Can I pray with other people? Can we be in groups of more than five? Do I have to use really big words to get God's attention? All these kind of questions that arise when you're trying to figure out how do you pray. You just don't feel like you pray properly. And sometimes you look around the church building, in this church congregation, or maybe in other congregations, and you just see people praying so well. It's like they have it together. They know how to pray. They sound so good. They're hitting all the right notes. But I think the first thing that I want to say before we fully dive into prayer is that you got to stop comparing yourself to someone else. We're all designed differently. God created you definitely differently than the person next to you. Yeah, there could be similarities, but we're all a little bit different. So the way that your brain works, the way it communicates, is going to be slightly different than the person beside you or the person up front. The similarity that is between you and everyone else is that you're praying to God. That is your similarity. So, we're going back to the questions of how do we pray? Do we pray with others? Do we pray alone? Do we have to say the right things? So throughout the Bible, we find examples of Jesus praying. But he's praying alone sometimes. He's praying with other people. He's praying for people. All these different things that show that Jesus is, just in general, praying. So getting alone in prayer, the first thing, do I have to be alone? Not always. But being alone sometimes gives you that opportunity to be free. Sometimes we feel a little scared to pray out loud to people beside you because, like, what if they're going to think something different of me? What if they're going to be like, oh, geez, he has that issue or something like that? Being alone gives you a chance to just freely express your thoughts. It gives you this intimate moment with God, that we have this conversation that is solid, clear, concise. Our thoughts are brought before God in ways that we feel maybe he's going to listen. Daniel, in the book of Daniel, took time to pray by himself, and here's his example in Daniel chapter 6, verse 10. It says, "Now when Daniel knew that the document was signed, he entered his house. Now in his roof chamber, he had windows open towards Jerusalem, and he continued kneeling on his knees 3 times a day, praying and giving thanks before his God, as he had been doing previously." Similar, Luke chapter 5, verse 16 says, "But Jesus himself would often slip away to the wilderness and pray." Mark chapter 1, verse 35 says, "In the early morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went away to a secluded place and was praying there." Luke chapter 6, verse 12 says, "It was at this time that he went off, Jesus, to the mountain to pray, and he spent the whole night in prayer to God." Praying solo is not a bad thing. We see these examples of people who would just take the time to go before God and go, "These are my prayers. This is the time that I can spend in a relationship with God." And sometimes in our daily lives, sometimes that's one of the easiest parts, is to be by yourself. I mean, at one point in your day, you're going to be by yourself, maybe multiple times. And just to have that quietness, to have that time to go, "God, I want to hear from you. I want to listen to you. I want to pray to you," gives us just that quietness of our heart to hear him. But at the same time, praying together isn't a bad thing either. I think of Thursday afternoon prayers when people gather together and we lift one another up. Ooh, that was a voice crack. The joy of praying together is the idea that we have a common prayer. We're united together in agreement to support someone, to lift them up. Matthew chapter 18, verse 20, "For where two or three have gathered together in my name, I am there in their midst." Acts chapter 1, 13 to 14 says, "When they had entered the city, they went up to the upper room where they were staying, that is Peter and John and James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus and Simon the Zealot, and Judas the son of James. These, all with one mind, were continually devoting themselves to prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers." Daniel chapter 2, verses 17 to 18 says, "Then Daniel went to his house and informed his friends Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah about the matter, so that they might request compassion from God of heaven concerning this mystery, so that Daniel and his friends would not be destroyed with the rest of the wise men of Babylon." Romans chapter 15, verse 30 says, "Now I urge you, brethren, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to strive together with me in your prayer to God for me." You can go either way. You can pray alone. You can pray together. Whatever you're comfortable with, I encourage you guys to try it. But the most important thing, whether it's together or by yourself, is to build that relationship with Christ in a solitude, but also encouragement and support together in others. But it's building that relationship. It's taking that time to hand Jesus your request, or to just thank him for what he's doing, or just the excitement that you have. Or maybe it's the non-excitement you have. Maybe it's the devastation in your heart. Maybe it's the hurt or the anger that you're feeling. But it's to go to God and continually go, "This is what's going on." I think it makes it easier when we talk about communication is key to the relationship. If you have this communication with your spouse or with someone you really trust, it's easier to tell them your frustrations. It's easier to tell them your anger, your hurt. It's easier to tell them your joy and your excitement because you know them. You wouldn't tell someone on the street why you're angry. You wouldn't tell someone on the street your deepest moment of your life. Sometimes when you're really excited, you don't care who you tell, but you just tell everyone. But it makes it easier when you have this communication line with that person because you can be open and honest. You're not going to hide something away. So communication with Christ in prayer is huge. So that somewhat answers the question, do you have to be alone or do you have to be with people? Either way, it works. Prayer is prayer. So we're going to continue to the next question is, the question we receive sometimes is there a certain way to pray? I think the only guideline that we really find in the Bible, and I'm not saying this is the ultimate way you have to use, is the Lord's Prayer in Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, 9 to 13 says, "Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power and glory forever and ever. Amen. This is the pattern that we find within the Bible that gives us guidelines on prayer. I do want to make it known that yet you do not need to memorize this and recite it word for word as your only prayer. I mean, I'm not going to stop you from doing that at the same time, but I mean, it feels like just a recited prayer. It doesn't feel like it's honest. It doesn't feel like you're putting your heart into it when we just recite something over and over. I mean, memorize it for sure. Memorize God's word. But don't memorize it just to use it as a daily prayer. What you should use the Lord's Prayer as is an example of things that you should say or go into your prayers with. Worship, trust in God, request, confession, and submission. We find that all within the Lord's Prayer. Use it as a template. Customize it with your words. Make it into your journey with God. Express your heart to God through this guideline. So, all of you guys have, or the person next to you, have this prayer card. I do not have it anymore. There it is. Just a little encouragement for you guys to have on your fridge in your Bible. But we're going to go through it. The acronym PRAY, P-R-A-Y. P, as you guys can see it, P stands for praise. Start your prayer off. It's I just want to really make it clear. I'm going to give you an idea of how you can pray, but make it your own. So when we start off praying, sometimes we're like, God, where do you want me to start? The easiest way sometimes is to start off with praise. You pray to God for who he is, what he has done. You're thankful for all that he is doing and what he will do. Getting into prayer sometimes, we come to a standstill. And so we focus on God by seeking out or realizing what he has done. You know, they always say, like, count your blessings. And then you're like, hey, maybe I actually have a lot more than I think. That's kind of the idea behind this, is to praise God for what he's done. Maybe it's something as simple as getting out of bed. I mean, we heard people saying, you know, we're thankful to God he helped me through this week at work. He gave me strength to be awake, to get out of bed this morning. God, thank you for that. Simple as that. Thankful that my child sleeps at night some days. Simple things as that, but it's going, God, you are holy, you are just, you are so good to me. You've given me so many things that I don't deserve, but man, I'm so thankful you have. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. Thank you for taking this punishment that I deserve and casting it away so that I have this opportunity to have this relationship with you. Thank you for my parents. Thank you for being a loving father to me. Thank you for being an example that I can be towards my kids. Things like that. It's just taking the time, starting off your prayer, and going, God, thank you. It seems to make it a little bit easier when we pray, when we go, God, this is who I realize who you are. So, 1 Chronicles 16:11 says, seek the Lord and his strength, seek his face continually. Don't give up. Psalms 28:6-9 says, blessed be the Lord, because he has heard the voice of my supplication. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart exalts, and with my song I shall thank him. The Lord is their strength, and he is a saving defense to his anointed. Save your people and bless your inheritance. Be their shepherd also and carry them forever. That's a huge thing to be thankful for. Thank you that you're my strength and shield. Thank you that I can trust you. Acts 16:25 says, but about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns of praise to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. One of the hardest points, it's interesting that Betty was talking about her job now working in the jail. In Acts chapter 16, Paul and Silas are in jail only for serving God. They didn't do anything wrong. But the Roman Empire was totally against Christianity at that time, and so they sent them to jail. Bleakest outcome being in jail, but it didn't stop them from going, God, you are awesome. Yeah, I'm behind bars. Yeah, I'm in prison. There's probably no chance of getting out of this, but God, you are good. For what you've done up to my life so far, you are awesome. And so they sang and they prayed hymns. And if you read that, God opens the doors. They're set free. In the toughest times, it is very hard to praise God. But sometimes that's the little boost that we need to go, I'm going to come before you, God. Because when you're hurting, when you're angry, you don't want to come before God because it's like, well, God, you're holy and just, and I get that, but at the same time, the sucky situation I'm in. But when we begin to praise God for who he is, we actually begin to realize that, all right, maybe he has a hand in this. Maybe he knows what he's doing. And of course he knows what he's doing, but in our time we feel maybe he doesn't. So praise, P. Maybe try it. Start out with P. R is repent. Sometimes what stops us from fully getting into prayer is our regret, our shame, our feeling of unworthiness due to the sin in our lives. And no matter what we do, sometimes we don't even notice we sin. Sometimes we know that we sin, but we feel just awkward. We're like, God, I know I sinned, and this is ridiculous coming to someone who is pure and holy as you. So I'm just going to kind of avoid it. But don't worry, God, you know my heart. It's fine. But I think we need to get that out of the way. Is that if there's something in your heart, if there's something that's stopping you from being fully open to God, we need to get rid of it. So sometimes to start prayer off, maybe you don't start with praise. Maybe you start with repentance. Maybe you go, God, I'm sorry for what I've done. I'm sorry for the things maybe I forgot I've done. But God, may you wipe my sins clean. May your blood cover me and make me pure again. And sometimes just saying that, getting that off your chest to God, it opens you up to be, all right, I feel I can pray now. Acts chapter 3, verse 19 says, repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. Romans chapter 2, verse 5 says, but because of your stubbornness and your unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath against yourself for the day of God's wrath when his righteous judgment will be revealed. Yeah, I'm stubborn. I get it. I don't want to admit I've done stupid things, especially to God. But we just need to get past our pride and go, God, I'm weaker than I think I am sometimes when it comes to dealing with my own sin. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31 to 32 says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as Christ God forgave you. John chapter 1, verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7 says, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace. Sometimes we just need to get to the point in our prayer life where we go, God, take this all away from me. Let there be no barrier between us. Restore our relationship. Which then we move on to the letter A, which is ask. I think this is the, when everyone thinks of prayer, we think of ask. We think of God, I'm coming before you to ask you for things. It's the number one thing in our prayer list sometimes. Nothing wrong with asking, because Jesus talks about asking. But if that's all your conversation is God, do this, do this, do this, do this, do this, do this, we're missing the point of this communication. We're missing the point of what prayer can really be. I'm pretty sure those who are married or, you know, you're dating someone, you don't just ask your person questions all the time. I mean, how fun is that? How's the weather? Do you enjoy your day? How's the cat? How was your day? All this stuff. I mean, you get some answers out of it, but where is this bonding? Where is your answers to their questions? Where is this? Where's the humor? Where's the joking? Where's the laughter? Where's the love in it all? With that all being said, don't be afraid to ask. We have needs and desires that we want God to move in. We want God to move in our unsaved family and friends. We want to see healing in our lives and in others. We want unity within the church, and the list can go on. We have burdens that God places on our hearts as well. So yeah, we want to lift others up. But you also want to be made aware of what God has placed on your heart. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 says, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you'll find. Knock and the door will be opened to you." Which sounds amazing because that means that we can come to God. It means that we can ask for things that maybe we're like, well, maybe he won't answer. There's no harm in asking. But it's going to be God's will that comes first before yours. Psalms chapter 5, verses 1 to 3 says, "Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my groaning. Heed the sound of my cry for help, my King and my God, for to you I pray. In the morning, O Lord, you will hear my voice. In the morning, I'll order my prayers to you and eagerly watch." It's praying and going, God, I'm going to watch for what you are going to do. Because what we think God will do may be not what God will do. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 says, "And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the requests which we have asked from him." He hears it. So ask. Prayers can be about asking. But it's also about listening. Because God is going to place on your heart things that you should pray for. There's moments you guys have probably all experienced is that when you wake up in the middle of the night, you just wake up and you can't sleep. Those are the times that I find that God is placing on my heart to pray for someone or for something. And finally, we get to the Y part in the PRAY acronym, and it's yield. This is something we also need to come to terms with, that, yeah, we are praying for needs and desires of ourselves and other people, but we also must know that God works in his will and in his time. We need to accept his will is perfect for our lives, that sometimes how we think he should work isn't going to be that way. But we need to be obedient in it. Have faith that God is moving in ways that we may not be seeing. Philippians 4, verse 6 says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16 says, "Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need." We need to yield. Sometimes we just need to quiet our asking needs and just go, God, your will be done and not mine. Interesting, because Jesus prayed that in the Garden of Gethsemane before he was arrested. He was praying that the cup be taken away. If it is possible that the cup that he was bearing, that the cross he was going to bear, be taken away from me. If there was any other way, God, take this away from me. But if there is not, let your will be done. And if Jesus, being human, could say, God, I know what's coming ahead. I know that I'm going to be tortured. I'm going to be put to death. If there is no other way, I will do it. That's yielding to God, going, God, if there is no other way to do this, I'm going to follow your will. Because I would love for my way to be done, because in my head it's easy, it's comfortable. But maybe God is, that's the point where God's going to stretch you. That's the point where God's going to bring someone into your life that maybe you can preach to, that you can tell Jesus to. These opportunities arise when God is in control. So, that all being said, P-R-A-Y, praise, repent, ask, and yield. It's all a guideline. It's not the official guideline, because Jesus throughout the Gospels prayed in different ways. So, you can use it as an idea, or if you have your ways, you can do your ways as well. You're going to find what works best for you. The joy that you find is the ways you pray and make it your way. That is what's going to bring you joy, is finding what works best for you. But the idea is to be more regular, not just in those times of need. We need to be a church of prayer. Prayer is what makes a difference. The more we do it, the more we do see that difference. So don't look at other people when they can pray awesome, long prayers. Don't look at people using elegant speech in it. Because Lord knows Pastor Dan, he's good. He's good. He's good at prayer. But don't let someone who, say, has experience cause you to not want to pray. Like I said, you're wired differently. You're going to say things differently. But it's just to have that conversation with God. You can be honest with God. You can tell your struggles and everything like that. You don't have to pretend everything's okay when you come to prayer. Because if everything was okay, if everything was perfect, God wouldn't need to send Jesus. When it comes down to prayer, faith, trust, and perseverance is what I think of. And when you're praying, don't give up. If you miss that basket, if the airplane doesn't make it to God, build another airplane, build another basket, build another note to take to God. Matthew 26, verses 41 says, "Keep watching and praying that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17 is a verse everyone knows. It says, "Pray without ceasing." Ephesians chapter 6, verses 18 to 20 says, "With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit, and with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. And pray on my behalf that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth to make known the boldness, the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in proclaiming it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." Colossians chapter 4, verse 2 says, "Devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving." As you pray, don't let routine become part of your prayer, because routine feels boring after a while, or it's not as sincere. Yes, there'll be times when you will pray for specific circumstances over and over, because it's on your heart until you see God move in a way. So yeah, keep praying that way. But don't forget that there's more that God has in store for you in prayers. Don't limit yourself to just a few things. Romans chapter 8, verse 26 says, "In the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness. For we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words." So when it comes down to it, prayer is amazing. Prayer is something we need to continually do. Prayer is the communication builder between us and God to have this relationship with him. Don't be limited by what you think God can only do. If God is the creator of the universe, obviously he can do much more than our brains can even comprehend. There's a pastor named John Piper. You may have heard of him, but he quoted it this way when it comes to imagination of prayer. "If we're honest, many of us lack courage and imagination in our prayer lives. We have a tiny little box of routine things that we're willing to ask God for, and we take on everything else on our own. We think we don't want to burden God with our prayers, so we only ask him a few things. Our questions, our frustrations, our dreams, we try to do that all on our own. We assume that God's not interested in or doesn't have time for the small details of our day. And we can't even imagine him conquering global crises. Yeah, we talk about war, we talk about terrorism, we talk about our prime minister and the presidents, and we go, God, move in our leaders. But what if we go, God, take control of my imagination, take control of my heart, and work on me in prayer? And what if he revealed to you the global crisis of 27 million people in slavery? That's something I never thought of. I limited God to only my concerns. I limited God to the concerns of the church. I limited God to the concerns of Wainwright and my family. But I missed the opportunity that God has presented when I limited him not to global crisis. I limited him to things that maybe I've never been in contact with. But it's interesting that Betty also touched on today that there are people out in Wainwright and in this world that need Jesus desperately. Because what if God reveals to you the millions or the billions of people enslaved to sin and are heading to hell? I never thought to pray beyond the people that I knew about their life, about eternity. So don't just limit yourselves to just these small things. Yeah, okay, there's concerns in your life, I get that. But there's so much more that God can use you in prayer. So don't be settled for middle-of-the-road mediocre requests. We wait to God, We wait to pray about something until it becomes serious enough. Don't wait. Don't wait until you're like, oh man, I only have a week left, or this person only has a few months left. What if we just started now? Because we never think about life, and we never think about death until it happens. We never think about, man, I should have done this until that person is gone. And we don't pray for something unless we expect him to do something in the next 24 hours. And so we deprive ourselves of his mercy and his power in massive areas of our life and world when we do that. So when it comes to prayer, I can't tell you how to pray. You're going to find what works best for you. All I can give you is hints about what Jesus has done in the Gospels and how he prayed. And the more that we have this communication, the easier it is to pray. Sometimes the longer we'll pray. And I'm going to finish it off with this verse, Psalms chapter 145, verses 18. And it says, the Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth. Your prayers are heard. No matter how big or how small, whether you think you hit the mark or not, whether you think you use the right words or not, God isn't interested in your words. He isn't, yes, he's interested in words, but not in the eloquent way. He just wants the conversation with you to know that you have trust, that you have this faith in him, that he's going to be doing something great. So back to the basics. Number one, Jesus. We learned last week, it's Jesus. And if Jesus spent so much time in prayer and in communication with the Father, then I think that's part of our basic foundation is prayer. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to come together, as we already said, but thank you that we can pray. Thank you that we have this opportunity to just be able to close our eyes or to just speak to you and you hear us. We don't have to do these huge rituals. We don't have to do these huge eloquent speeches that once we're done them, then you begin to hear us. We don't have to do something amazing. We don't have to build up a list of things that we've done in order for you to hear us. But it's just simple conversation going, God, it's me. This is what's going on. Thank you that in your time you move and you work in ways that maybe we don't understand, but thank you that we can look maybe at the situation and go, God, yes, I saw you move. I've seen you move. You are moving. That's amazing. Thank you that we can look back and see you moving, and that gives us confidence. That gives us faith to know you're going to keep moving. And so, Lord, I don't know where people are at today. I don't know what's going on in their lives. I don't know if people are hurting. I don't know if they're on their knees praying for their family or their friends. I don't know if they're excited. I don't know if they're joyful over something. But Lord, in everything, I lift them all up to you in whatever circumstance that they have. And Lord, I know you're listening, but I pray for a revelation in their lives that they see you moving. And it gives them a peace, a confidence to know that I can go forward praying to you because, God, you are faithful, you are good, you are trustworthy, you are fantastic, you're amazing. You don't break promises. And so, Lord, as we go forth, may we start prayer. May it be just, maybe it's just 3 5-minute prayers a day. Maybe it's just a 1-minute prayer here and there, but, Lord, that we start somewhere. And we go forward going, God, this works. This is good. And you feel confidence that Jesus is moving. You feel confidence in why you believe in Jesus. You feel confidence in being a Christian and being a Christ follower. So, Lord, as we leave this place, may we not forget to pray. But, Lord, just a blessing upon them in their days and in their week, Lord. Be with them in all their circumstances. We pray these things in your name. Amen. All right. That's it.